you're going to use that opportunity to go and indoctrinate these kids with your street ghetto philosophy. Certain point. If you raise your level of income to the status of a rock star, then then you got to keep coming up with ways to maintain that status. I'm not even saying eat meat, but at least put some cereal in the milk. Come on. That's like taking 666, the mark of the beast, and redefining it like Biggie tried to do and saying, no, it means this or that. No, 666 is 666. You can call it holy 666, but it's still the mark of the beast. Convenient, whether it's welcome or unwelcome. You, as preachers of the word, are to show people in what way their lives are wrong.
We welcome you now to A True Church Perspective with Pastor G. Craig Lewis.
Blessings to you all. This is G. Craig Lewis with another True Church Perspective here at EX Ministries. You can find us on the web, exministries.com or true-church.org. Last week on the broadcast, we dealt with the Laodicean church and Revelations 3 and 14, where we kind of dealt with the condition of the church. And we want to kind of add to that this week and kind of go back to that particular passage and pull some more things out. I believe it is very necessary for the time that we are in. Our churches have begun to embrace certain things, and it is causing a trickle down among our youth. And I believe that's the problem with some of the things that are going on in the church. Let's go back to that passage and start at the 15th verse. So then, because thou art lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I will spew you out of my mouth. And of course, we know that the Lord is talking about the water and the temperature of the water, which we discussed last week, the water not being useful because the water was the temperature of the earth or the world. So it contained contaminants. But we want to go a step further and talk about the wealth of this city. Laodicea was a major banking city. They had a lot of money and wealth, a lot of power in this city. And so because of their wealth, they kind of got beside themselves. And, you know how people are with money. When the Bible speaks of it's easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle, which is really an impossible feat. God is almost saying that it's impossible for the very, very wealthy to enter in, just because when people become dependent on wealth and become very, very wealthy, a lot of times they lose their dependency upon God. And they don't need him. Even subconsciously, they feel that they have all that they need. So 17th verse says, because thou sayest, I am rich and increase with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, and blind and naked. And when I read this, there's something that really needs to be brought out about this. And that is, when these people thought they had it made, they thought they had wealth, and they thought they were okay. And the scripture is telling us that they are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. And I want to use that passage and deal with this extensively. You know, over the last 8 years, we have literally been fighting the move of hip hop into the church. A lot of times our information is not welcomed because we fight from an educated standpoint. And the education that we have on the subject, to the degree of what hip hop really is something that doesn't want to be debated. You'll see debates. You know, the other day we turned on a debate on the Word Network, and there were several preachers that got together to discuss hip hop. And they all discussed hip hop from the standpoint that hip hop is music. And they start talking about how we need to bring the music into church. And I mean, just foolish talk. I mean, just the, you know, hip hop is okay and God is going to use it. You know, it's just utterly ridiculous for you to even bring in pastors to discuss the problem of hip hop in the church, when the real problem is the predator type preachers that a lot of them are. You know, hip hop isn't this problem when when the preacher's sleeping with the teenagers. Hip hop isn't the problem when the pastors can't stay married and keep their families. You know, I'm just appalled that this is who we put up as the leaders of the church to talk about hip hop. They're making uninformed decisions. And they're talking from a standpoint of not having true information, because if they really, really researched it, they'd understand that the rap in the church is not even the issue. The problem is the hip hop subculture, you know, and this is a subcultural move that has crept into the church. And you can look at the statistics among African American teens to see that the gangster, the thug, the whore, the hoochie, these are the things that are destroying our young people. And for a preacher to welcome this mentality into his church shows that this preacher already had a problem. And most of the guys that were talking on this show, we know, have serious issues behind closed doors. So we're talking about an era of men that are so lascivious in their behavior that they are blind. The scripture says that even though they have money, they're increased with goods, they have need of nothing. He said, but don't you know that you're wretched, you're miserable, you're poor, you're blind, and you're naked? In other words, God is saying, don't you know that you can't even see what the real problem is? You got to understand that when we put these men up in charge of our churches or in the forefront of the church, then these men that don't have roots in holiness, don't have roots in righteousness, can't preach holiness or righteousness. And because of that, they have to use vehicles and tricks to get people in. So they have to welcome hip hop and R&B and secular music. I wish someone had been on this show and asked them, do y'all listen to the secular station where they're playing hip hop just cursing and foul and degrading women? Do y'all listen to this? I wish someone had asked that, because I'm sure every one of these pastors would have said, yes, this is what we listen to. This is what's in our CD players. And so we want to deal with this, you know, a bit deeper, because I want to really get into this. You know, we argue on the side of righteousness, and so we argue against hip hop. And you got to understand, hip hop is a subcultural religion to those that have embraced it. You know, you go back and look at the roots of it. It was the absence of fathers in the home, absence of examples in the home, that caused hip hop to flourish. In other words, the young boys, the young men in the ghettos, they were only mimicking what their fathers were. Their fathers that were pimps out in the street that ended up in jail, these young men began to mimic them. So they created another language in the streets. They created another form of behavior in the streets. And then they began to glorify what was going on in the streets. So what was in the streets became popular. What was in the streets became the in thing. And this is where the hip hop subculture actually came into the picture. And so young men begin to mimic these things. And because the young men begin to mimic them, it created an understanding that, hey, if you want to be in the ghetto, then you have to look a certain way. You have to talk a certain way. You have to conform to what the ghetto is doing. Now, understand that these young men, you know, our hearts go out to them because this is what they saw growing up. But the Bible specifically tells us, you know, that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. This means that no matter where you came from, you know, there needs to be a change when you come to Christ. So what we believe here and what we're teaching here is that, you know, we're not talking about a style of music or a genre here. We're talking about behavior. We're talking about a subcultural idea. We're talking about deconstructing the image of a man that can work and provide for his family and be successful, deconstructing this image to a street thug. Even when men have success, a lot of them want to mimic the street culture. And this puts a negative identity on a person, and it puts a stereotype on them, and it causes our young black men to not be able to succeed. Now, for some preachers to sit up on some stools and pass a microphone around, and they're all wearing suits, they're all, you know, their hair is cut, they're all clean cut. These brothers, you know, just came out the barbershop, probably got private barbers, you know, drove their Mercedes up there to the church or wherever they were shooting this on the Word Network. And these, all these men look like they could go in any bank and get a job. They look like they could go anywhere in corporate America and get a job. For these men to stand up there and say, I'm condoning the Christian thug. I'm condoning the you know, these images for our young children. That is hypocrisy, because you don't look like that. See, real hip hoppers call that a hypocrite. They basically say, look, you don't look like that. Of course, they'll take the recommendation and they'll take, you know, the validation, but you don't look like them. So you're not struggling to get a job. You're not struggling in your area to succeed. You've already been successful financially. So you're blind. You're totally blind because you have your young people mimicking thugs and gangsters in their youth, at the time when they should be getting an education. You have them dressed like street hoods and thugs and gangsters, and they're hurting themselves. You have your young girls hoochified and looking like whores. You should be ashamed. It is, I'm telling you, I could barely sleep after I saw this program because I could not believe this is what passes for pastors. These are the leaders of churches. And the saddest part is when these guys were talking, when the elder stood up and said, look, there needs to be a difference between the world and the church. Jamal Bryant comes up with this, well, hip hop is a Trojan horse and folks can hide in it. And then when it walks into the church, everybody jumps out like the story of Troy. You're going to use, first of all, you're uninformed. Second of all, that's not in the Bible. Can you use scripture? Can you use a biblical example? Because I have a biblical example. If we go to the 1 Samuel, the 15th chapter, we read about God giving a commandment to King Saul. Now, Saul was a worldly king. God did not want him to be king, but the people wanted him to be king. So God anointed him as king because this is what the people wanted. God gave him what they wanted. But because he was worldly and insecure, you're talking about a man who God gave a commandment to. Hey, go destroy the Amalekites. They've killed my people. They've hurt my people. They've persecuted my people because my people serve me and not their God. And so kill Agag, destroy everything that has to do with the system of the Amalekites. Well, what does Saul go do? Saul goes and he kills some of them. He destroys some of the stuff, but he spares King Agag and he keeps the good that he sees good, or the spoils of the Amalekites. We read in verse 8, and he took Agag, king of the Amalekites, alive, though he utterly destroyed all the rest of the people with the sword. Saul and the people spared Agag, and the best of the sheep, oxen, fattings, lambs, and all that was good would not utterly destroy them, but all that was undesirable or worthless they destroyed utterly. Saul said to Samuel, yes, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord and gone the way the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag, king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. Then Saul said, bring to me Agag, king of the Amalekites. And Agag came all happy because he thought he was going to live. And Agag said, surely the bitterness of death is past. And Samuel said, as your sword has made women and children childless, so your mother shall be childless among women. And Samuel hewed Agag into pieces before the Lord. Now, this was a vicious act of Samuel that God had commanded. He killed Agag. But the reason being is because Agag had went against the God of gods and began to teach the Israelites, or to try to persuade them to serve another God. Now, when we bring this back to 2009, we're talking about hip hop as a subcultural religion. Because hip hop is a subcultural religion with its own belief system, we cannot bring this subculture into the church. Listen again, we're not talking about music here. And this is what all the preachers kept saying on this particular broadcast and on this show. I don't know if you saw it, but it was a shame before God that they were so uninformed. And of course, they didn't want to bring an informed voice into this arena because it would have exposed more than just their lack of knowledge of hip hop. But you saw them, you know, considering hip hop as music. And yeah, we need to bring the rap into the church, and we need to bring hip hop into church, and we need to let the youth have it, and they don't even understand what they're saying. You need to bring a subcultural religion into the church of God? You mean something with its own beliefs? You see, when these young men's fathers were not in the home and they were out in the streets or left the home, these young boys depended upon this subculture in the streets to teach them. It taught them. It gave them identity. It showed them how to dress, how to look, how to behave, how to carry themselves with a swagger. These are things that hip hop teaches the unfathered. You know, I tell people all the time, you don't have to worry about hip hop overly influencing a young man if he has a strong father in the home. The strong father in the home is going to pull the earrings out of his ears. He's going to make him pull his pants up. He's not going to let him go get tattooed and pierced everywhere. He's not going to let him talk, know what I'm saying, you know what I'm saying, know what I'm saying. He's not going to let him talk ignorant and sound foolish, but he's going to want his son to be able to function in society as an upstanding citizen and get a good job and go to college and graduate and be something in life. A real father is going to do that. But hip hop replaces the father in these homes, because when the father is missing, the young boys outsource their identity from the street. When they get it from the street, they become street savvy, or hip hop, the subculture. We're not talking about music. Music is just the voice. The music is the declaration. Music declares what hip hop will do. It's just like the church. You know, gospel music is not the church of God. Gospel music may declare the good news of the church or the good news of Jesus Christ, but the music is not the church. And it's the same thing with hip hop. If you ask any hip hopper, they will tell you rap is something we do. Hip hop is something we are. And that's what we have to understand. So we can't bring an identity before God, because we have to deny ourselves and become nobody so Christ can make us somebody, especially when we've picked up these types of identities out of negative sources. I want to read something to you, and I'm going to show you how serious this thing is. Erykah Badu, who we featured on one of our DVDs, the What Every Church Needs to Know About Hip Hop, and I encourage you to get our series on hip hop. It will make you understand first what hip hop is, why it doesn't belong in the church, and it'll make you understand why all these preachers was gathered together making uninformed judgments on hip hop, and it'll let you know exactly what they're all afraid of. So I encourage you to get our DVDs, but understand something. There is a song by Erykah Badu, who considers herself a siren, which is a mythical creature that would play music to seduce. That's what she considers herself. And she believes that she's called by hip hop and all, she is hip hop and all that. So she's making a judgment call on what hip hop really is in her song called The Healer Hip Hop. Now, she's placed hip hop where all hip hoppers place it, real hip hoppers, and that is in a God position. She calls the song The Healer. Now, does that sound familiar? Isn't Jesus the bomb in Gilead? Isn't he the true healer? Well, she's letting you know, no, hip hop is. Listen to these lyrics to this song. She says, Humdi Lali Allah Jehovah. Now, we know we already got a problem there. Yahweh Dios Mahdi Jah. Rastafari dance, sex, music, hip hop. These are her lyrics. Listen, it's bigger than religion, hip hop. It's bigger than my niggas, hip hop. It's bigger than the government. This one for Dilla, hip hop. We ain't dead, said the children. Don't believe it. We just made ourselves invisible. Underwater, stovetop, blue flame. Scientists come out with your scales up. Get baptized in the ocean of the hungry. My niggas turn into gods. Walls come tumbling. Do you see the parody here? Do you see how they are using hip hop to replace the things of God, being baptized and going under the water and turning us into gods? These are her lyrics in her song, bigger than religion, bigger than the government, hip hop. And some preachers are going to sit up there and forward this evil, wicked agenda. First, I am just ashamed and appalled that this is what is passing for true black leadership. One in every two black teenagers is infected with an STD in America. One in every two. We are the leading leaders for the HIV virus, our teens, STDs, homosexual deaths by AIDS. We have all these problems, and the answer, the church, the representatives of the church of God will stand up and condone hip hop, a godless, self as God, subcultural belief system. Bring it in the church and use it for God. I'll go back to this story of Samuel. God rejected Saul as king because he didn't do what he was supposed to do. Samuel killed Agag and he rebuked Saul, and Saul was stripped of the anointing God gave him as king because he tried to keep what was the world's and what was against God and offer that back up to God. Now, here's what I'm saying with this story. God will not allow us to take a subcultural religious belief system that believes against the word of God and try to redeem that and make that something that God would want. God is rejecting it. He will not accept this. If it's not inspired by God, God does not want it. If it belonged to people that were against him before, you can't take it and redeem it. You can't redeem Buddhism. You can't redeem Hinduism. You can't redeem an atheism. You can't redeem Mormonism. You can't redeem belief systems that don't recognize God as God. You're going to bring this in the church and try to use it for God? How silly. But what we have a bunch of leaders that like it, that want it. You know, Jamal Bryant brings secular artists to his church all the time. He wants to be the end. You know, these other preachers that were on here, I don't remember some of their names, but I know one of them is on a YouTube video singing all the secular songs in the church, and all the kids are bumping and grinding in the church. And it is just sad and appalling that these are the pastors. And the saddest part of this thing I saw on the Word Network were the older preachers that really had wisdom and knowledge, that were scandal free. These men were sitting in the audience getting rejected by the voice of the younger. The wise men sat back in the audience, and the new move, the false move, the false prophets, the self-proclaimed leaders of the black church were on the platform spewing foolishness that wasn't scripture. They didn't use scripture. They didn't try to exegete scripture. They didn't try to even use God in their reason for doing what they're doing. It was all flesh. And I'm telling you, people of God, we have a serious issue in the body of Christ. This Laodicean era of success has made our churches lukewarm. And I know I've spent this whole broadcast just, you know, talking about this stuff, but this is very important to us because, see, the future of the church is the youth. And what does that mean? That means the future of God's representatives. That's in our young people, the ambassadors of the future that's going to take the word of God to the masses and help save the world. That's our young people. And when we have men that not only condone these types of subcultural movements and these fads and pop culture. You know, I saw a poster the other day of a preacher right here in Dallas, and he had the K104 logo on his billboard. You're a pastor of a church and you are condoning the very station that is publicizing sex and pushing sex in music and pushing foolishness in our community, and you're going to put that logo on your billboard? This is an utter shame where we are, this Laodicean church. But Jesus Christ is still on the throne. And I don't believe just because a bunch of folks are crazy, it stops the move of God. We have to believe that God moves, and the first place he needs to move is in you. He needs to move in your heart. He needs to move you away from this. He needs to stir up a desire in you for what is right. as I travel the country, you know, TV has a way of amplifying voices. And when people get on TV with foolishness like we saw on this broadcast, people begin to get discouraged and think, hey, this is the way everybody's doing it. So that pastor that's teeter tottering, trying to make a decision on which way he's going to go with his youth, he'll see that and say, well, this must be everybody. But I got news for you. Just because it's on TV don't mean it's God. But right now, we need some men and women that are going to get before God to find the true way to do things. We need some people that are going to invoke the presence of God and move by his spirit and not be caught up in what's popular and not be caught up in what feels good. Right now, I just want to pray. Those of you that are discouraged, or those of you that are teeter tottering, those of you that just looking for the right way, let me pray for you right now. Father God, I just believe that you've called this broadcast forward. You've called it into this nation, into existence. So God, people can have a true voice to listen to. Not that I'm anything, but that I just preach your word, and your word is truth. And God, in the midst of a bunch of men that want to do things their way and want to make money and want to be famous, Father God, I believe you've called a voice out. And I believe that those that are listening, God, can be touched by that voice. And I pray right now, Father, that those that may have gone astray, those that may have lodged themselves in a ministry that is not producing your true fruit, Father God, I pray for them right now that you will lead them out and lead them where they need to go. Father, you will give them insight. You will give them what they need to believe and hear. Father, you will feed your sheep. Father God, you will have pastors that have your heart sitting up and waiting for them with open arms. I pray right now, God, that you would do a new thing in this nation. And with the authority you've given me, I pray, Lord, that the sinner man will be saved, and that your churches, God, will reflect you until your son Jesus returns. In Jesus' name. I'm believing God with you, brother and sister, that things are going to get better for you. And though the world may look like it's taken over the church, God has a true church that he's called out of this foolishness. And I want to be a part of that. We'll see you back next week on this broadcast. Please come back 9:30 a.m. every Sunday here on KHVN, and you will have another true church perspective. God bless you.
Thank you for joining us for A True Church Perspective with Pastor G. Craig Lewis. Join us here each Sunday at 9:30 a.m. You can also visit us online at true-church.org.
X Ministries presents the message that is changing America.
The devil wants the church. He wants his place back. That's why he's always trying to get in the church.
Now digitally remastered.
All them strange piercings, those were signs of slavery back in Egypt, where they would pierce you because they owned you. That wasn't a good thing.
Now available on DVD.
They were going to begin to embrace the world's music. Actually taking parts of the secular music and putting it into the gospel.
The truth behind hip-hop.
This music glorifies everything that is bad. Brothers walking with their pants sagging down all in the high school.
Can you handle the truth?
Hi, I'm G. Craig Lewis, and I want to talk to you about our brand new video, Strengthening the Bond. It is a must for all parents, teens, and leaders. With the rise in broken marriages, homes, and families, we need a reality check. Where is this going? What happens when marriage is no longer a sacred institution and the norm is for children to be born to single or same-sex parents? What will happen to our education system when 90% of our youth are sexually active? What will happen to our youth if they continue to eat unhealthy foods, watch unhealthy television programming, and continue to contract STDs at a 1-to-4 ratio? If we, as the people of God, don't stand up now, we won't have any say in these matters later on. We must stand now. Get this new DVD, Strengthening the Bond, and learn how to preserve the family that God created.